Good morning, everyone. Let's begin the day with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful morning. We just thank you that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and that you love us. Father, I just pray that this morning you'll use me as your empty vessel to share your heart, share your word with my brothers and sisters here today. And then just pray that, you know, we'll have this, we just thank you for this time where we can really just meditate on your word and to worship you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning, everyone. Let's turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. So that's the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Let's read. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th month of the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Amen. So just a bit of context, a bit of background. Haggai is one of 12 minor prophets, one of the last prophets to speak in the Old Testament before the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and when John the Baptist speaks again in the New Testament. Haggai is considered a post-exilic prophet, so speaking to the Jews after they have returned from their time in exile in Babylon. Haggai himself was most likely born in Babylon and part of the contingent that came back from Babylon. And the book of Haggai, just quickly for on its structure, is effectively contains four sermons spread over a 2 or 3 month period when Haggai delivers these sermons. Now, it's really important to, I think, get into the state of the mind of the Jews at that time in the book of Haggai. So this was 18 years after Cyrus had proclaimed that the Jews may return to the promised land. But as you may know, that only a small contingent of probably about 50,000 Jews actually returned from exile. And there's reasons for this. It's because when the Jewish people were in Babylon, they weren't actually held there just as slaves. You know, many of them actually had businesses. Many made money through trade. So, they were, planted. They had, a decent life. And so for those coming back from exile, it wasn't easy at all, as they were leaving friends, leaving prosperity for poverty, leaving behind industry for agriculture. And they're going back to a land which was basically desolate after 70 years of neglect. They were also coming back to a hostile land where the local Samaritans weren't keen on the returning people. The returning Jews, the 50,000, knew they weren't coming back to a promised land to, you know, become wealthy, to build a really successful business or economy. They came back for a very spiritual reason, and it was to rebuild the kingdom of God in the promised land. Okay, so these guys are the guys that really are focused on trying to rebuild the kingdom. So when we see the Jews first come back to the promised land and start rebuilding the temple, we read from Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And when builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, the king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. There was excitement, you know, there was energy. But over the years, they became worn down. Lethargy crept in as they continued to be met with opposition to their rebuild. And subsidies from Babylon during the reign of Cyrus, which were granted during the reign of Cyrus, also stopped once Darius came into power, as Darius required the funds to fuel his battles, his campaigns. So we see the Jews in Haggai, the initial enthusiasm, the priority to rebuild the temple had gone. So indeed, the rebuilding actually only went on for about 2 years from when it started, and then stopped for 14 years by the time we see them again in the book of Haggai. At this point, the Jews were more focused on their own survival than on rebuilding. They were dealing with a lack of resources, spiraling inflation, bad harvests, minimal to not that much savings. These are the people that the Lord was speaking to when we find them in the book of Haggai. So this morning, I would like to examine just first the first chapter through a sharing on the topic of reordering confused priorities. And we'll do this very simply by asking and reflecting upon three simple questions as we go through chapter one. The first question is, how do you know that your priorities are confused? Secondly, what are the effects when the priorities are not in order? And thirdly, what should be done about it? So three very simple questions. Firstly, how do you know that your priorities are confused? Let's reread verses 2 to 4. Thus says the Lord of the hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. In these verses, there are a few factors mentioned. Firstly, the people rationalize why they have stopped rebuilding the temple, as they say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Well, they certainly can't say that they shouldn't be rebuilding the temple. It'd be unholy. It would be unspiritual. So I have to make another excuse to make it sound really spiritual and say, it's just not the right time to rebuild the temple. In their minds, they're probably thinking, we need to build up more wealth resources before we can rebuild the temple. Or life is really tough right now. Once our livelihood's more settled, we can do more for the Lord. The second factor, it also says, the people are dwelling in their paneled houses while the house of the Lord was still incomplete. Why is the mention of paneled houses significant? Now, in those times, wood was scarce in the land. They would have had to probably import from neighboring countries in order to put the paneling in their houses. Now, the issue is not that they were not allowed to take care of themselves, but by devoting their resources to import wood from abroad for their own houses, and not the temple of the Lord, it showed that there was a heart issue, that their priority was no longer on the Lord. Now, does this line of thinking sound a bit familiar to us? It's really easy to sit back and say, oh, you know, how could these Jews be so unfaithful? Even if life was tough, they should be putting God first. But the reality is that in our own lives, we've probably heard very similar types of reasons being given as well. For example, have you heard these reasons being given before? Oh, I felt, you know, really led to serve. You know, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me. But, you know, work is really busy right now. I can't serve. Another one. Oh, I really want to give, but let me build my portfolio up, you know, so I can, you know, give more a bit later on. Or, oh, I'm at least attending Sunday service. So, you know, I don't need to go to house church. I really don't need to, you know, have my quiet time throughout the week. It's all right. Our priorities are confused when the Lord does not come first, when our obedience is not immediate and we find ways to delay our obedience. And, you know, I've certainly been no stranger to this as well. A good way to examine your priorities lies how your priorities are is to simply ask yourself where you focus your own resources. Where do you focus your money, your time, your strength, your talent? Does it go to the Lord first or for your own personal comfort or well-being? The Jews showed through their actions that their priority at this time was themselves, and the Lord spoke through Haggai to reorder their priorities. So what are the effects when priorities are not in order? We're just going to read verse 5 to 6 and then 9 to 11. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so put them into a bag with holes. Verse 9, you looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Based on these two passages, it highlights two main effects. Firstly, it reveals that no matter how hard we try to do something according to our own strength, it won't work without God's mercy, without putting him first. For 14 years, through the Jews' own effort, they struggled, they suffered setback after setback. Their lives were tough, never having enough food and resources to sustain themselves. They were also likely dealing with inflation, as we see that the wages weren't enough to trade for the goods they needed. It was like putting into the bag with holes. Pastor John Piper succinctly summarizes the issue that the Jews were facing here. So this is Pastor John Piper says, so they lived in perpetual frustration and discontentment, nothing satisfied. We can't pass over this lesson easily. It's for us too. If you devote yourself to sowing and eating and drinking and clothing yourselves and earning wages, but neglect your ministry in the body of Christ, you will live in constant frustration. If you spend your time and energy seeking comfort and security from the world and do not spend yourself for the glory of God, every pleasure will leave its sour aftertaste of depression and guilt and frustration. The second effect, God will try to wake them up from their apathy. In verses 10 to 11, we see that it was God who caused a drought upon the land. Grain, wine, oil, these are basic crops required for the Jews' livelihood, and God did not bless these crops. You may think, oh, seems a bit harsh. But I would submit to you that when we are stuck in a rut, when we are dealing with a time of confusion, we sometimes do need God to do something very dramatic to wake us up from our apathy and get us to refocus on him. To paraphrase Pastor David Pawson, when we think that God is causing all the hardship, maybe the reality is that God is really just responding to our own actions. The Jews are probably thinking, oh, we can't build the temple because there is inflation. But perhaps the real reason is that what caused the inflation is because they stopped building the temple. They stopped putting God first. So what should be done about it? Verses 12 to 14. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So in two simple words, the solution is really swift obedience. Swift obedience. The key is to put him first immediately. We see in this passage that once the people decided to turn their heart toward God, the Lord immediately speaks to them and says, I am with you. I am with you. He then brought encouragement to the people. He stirred up their spirits. The Lord stirred up their spirits. And after 14 years of inactivity, the Jews resumed work just 23 days after Haggai's message to them. Isn't that instructive to our lives as well? We spend all this time relying on our own strength to do something, putting our own lives first, weighing the costs and benefits of whether we should be obeying the Lord when things are not so as convenient or when things aren't really going our way. But brothers and sisters, faith requires obedience, not delayed obedience, but immediate obedience. And when you obey the Lord will bless you and be with you. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So as we welcome Pastor Ernie to prepare us for, to lead us in worship, I would like to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us where we put our efforts, our strength, our money, our time in, because that is where our priorities lie. If you come to realization that it is not focused on God first, on building his kingdom first, then perhaps you need to ask the Holy Spirit what needs to be done in order to fix the situation, whether it may be spending more time with him in prayer or more time meditating upon the word, or whether it should be stepping up to serve in a ministry or in other capacities for the kingdom. If you get a download from the Lord, don't hesitate anymore. Don't delay anymore. He takes care of those who are faithful and obey him without delay. Don't be like the Jews in the book of Haggai. Wait for 14 years. So let's have Pastor Ernie lead us in worship.
Right. the storm, Father, you are King over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul. Find your rest, my soul. And rise alone and know His power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and time does roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storms. Father, you are King over the flood, and I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood, and I will be still, know you are God. When the oceans rise, thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. And I will be still and know you are God. And I will be still and know you are God. I will be still. In the midst of the storm, Lord, you are in control with your mighty hands, God.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Let's turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up all our brothers and sisters, and family members and friends who are battling cancer. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for the Lord's healing hand to be upon them. Let's also lift up all the friends and families who are taking care of them. Let's also just pray for them to feel that the Lord is with them. The Lord is supporting them every step of the way. So let's lift them up. Let's lift up friends, family members who are battling through various ailments, but also need salvation in their lives. So let's pray for not just physical healing, but also spiritual healing. Let's lift up members of our community that just are battling, that have battling different types of ailments. Let's pray for healing upon them. Let's continue to lift up the COVID situation in Hong Kong, in our community. Let's lift up those who are battling through COVID. Just pray for a quick recovery, pray against any long COVID symptoms. Let's also lift up all our frontline medical workers who are, just really serving the community of Hong Kong during this time. Let's lift up members of our community that are looking for work. Let's pray for God to open the right doors. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up Cambodia, Oasis House, Pastor Jenny Oh. Let's pray for North Korea, continued open doors for ministry opportunities, missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia. And let's also lift up all the persecuted churches around the world, especially in the Middle East. Let's lift up the SP weekend gatherings, Sunday service, the well, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, spin, spill services, activities, pastor outreaches, and all the meetings. Let's lift up, the pastoral staff, all the volunteers for all the ministries, and also for all the congregants to come, with the right heart. lift up members of our community that are pregnant right now. Let's pray that the pregnancy will be smooth, that there'll be minimal morning sickness, they'll just really enjoy the pregnancy and have a lot of joy during this time. Finally, let's lift up house churches, Bowen House Church, Hollywood House Church, Mawan, and Southside. Let's just pray for, you know, a really wonderful time of fellowship where they can really just focus on the Lord. Just pray that, they'll have a wonderful time in you. Let's lift up these house churches. Father God, we just thank you again for this morning. We just thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We just thank you for this reminder in the book of Haggai that, you know, our faith requires immediate obedience to everything that you've called us to, that we need to prioritize you and you first in everything that we do in our lives. Father, we just lift up the rest of this day to you. May you be glorified through our actions, our thoughts, our words, this weekend. We just thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. God bless.